I was praying about and thinking about what to speak on, I decided to look at Psalm 139. But I was saying to myself, when did I speak on that recently? You know, and I was kind of going back and I didn't see it recently in the last couple of years. But it made me think. Sometimes we think, well, we got to speak on something new or something original. And that's totally wrong. Because this is what we need to speak on. Blessing, honor, and glory and power to Him who sits on the throne. I mean, what would it be like if you only ate what you didn't eat before? You know, you that are cooks, you have to cook up a different meal, something totally different every mealtime. You say, wow, I would be missing out on a whole lot. Because there's certain foods that I love. And I have it, you know, you have it, oh, we're going to have that again. And you think about it, or you're outside and you smell the aroma of a barbecue and you say, man, somebody's having a barbecue. That really smells good. That brings to your memory how delicious the food was. It was what we had about the aromas, you know, to those in the parade. But the truths of the Lord should be that way. We should say, as soon as we hear Psalm 139, we should go, oh man, that is so good. I love that psalm. Or any of these different verses that God gives that tells of Him, that glorifies and honors Him, that brings us into connection with Him. So that when we speak, our thoughts should be about Him. As we're enjoying Him, others will enjoy Him too. And that's what really this song is, something David wrote apparently at night when he was going to sleep. He started thinking about these things, meditating upon these things, and writes them down for us to read and think about how great our God is and what we are in the light of His greatness. Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. You know my down sitting, when I go down and when I get up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You compass my path, or surround my path, my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, You know it altogether. You set me behind and before. You've laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain to it. Where shall I go from Your Spirit? Where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You're there. If I make my bed in hell, You're there. If I take the wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from Thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, curiously wrought or woven in the lowest parts of the earth. your eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. And in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. David's pondering and meditating on God's greatness. Now, God knows everything. Omniscient. He's everywhere at once. He's omnipresent. He is all-powerful, and especially in displayed in creation and making of us. He's omnipotent. And he starts thinking of a God that is this great. And, you know, we need to think about this. Think of how all that he knows. Think about how he knows. Now, when we were speaking at CEF a year or two ago, I was talking to them, the young people. I said, you know, God knows everything. But do you realize the world that we live in, the virtual world, the electronics, is watching us? Where can you go where there's not a camera somewhere picking up that you're there, that you walk in there? Or NSA monitoring your telephone call, listening to everything you say. Or if you get online, every keystroke is recorded somewhere. So everything you look up, everything you search. And this is just what men have done in their virtual world. But here, God, who in wisdom and knowledge is so much greater. Look at the things he says. You've searched my heart. Now, man hasn't gotten to the point where they can read your thoughts. Though they're experimenting with that. You know, they put these, sense the brain waves, and then, what were you thinking about? And you say what it was, and you try to calibrate that. But God knows your thoughts. Knows your heart. Every thought that you have, he knows. Think about that for a second. What about all... How have all your thoughts been lately? What have they been like? What would it be like... Sometimes you see there's a show where the person can hear other people's thoughts. What would that be like? Wouldn't that mess things up? God knows our thoughts. You know, our thoughts are not always loving, not always gracious, does not always give people the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes downright wicked. Many times downright wicked. We know our hearts. And so it's a fearful thing to be penetrated in everything about our thoughts that God knows. And here he starts off, you know when I sit down, when I get up, my thoughts from far off. He knows. Wherever I go, where do my feet take me? What do I see? What do I do? Even when I think nobody else is watching. My words. There is not a word in my tongue, but you know it all together. Before I even speak it. How many times have you said, "Oh, wish I hadn't said that"? When you look back on your life, certain things, it's funny how certain things you remember from way back. And you think back and say, "Man, was I such a jerk like that? Did I really say that? Did I really do that?" And when you were young, you know, children can be very ruthless to other children. And perhaps you can think back when you weren't very tactful at all with others. And wow, all these things the Lord knows all about. And He says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain to it." When you first stop and think about this truth about God's penetrating eye, sometimes they use that as a picture of God, a penetrating eye, or Jurassic Park, you know, when the dinosaur is looking for the kids and he looks in the window and all you see is his eye. You know, God's penetrating eye. Our first response when this enters into us is the next verse. "Where can I flee from thy spirit? Where can I hide from God? How can I hide from this? Where can I go that He won't see me? That He won't see my thoughts and know what I'm doing? If I go up to heaven as high as I can reach, He's there. If I go to the lowest place of hell and try to, He's there. If I get on a plane and fly to the other side of the world, He's there. And yet, man tries to hide from God. Man uses all kinds of ways to hide from God. Right from the start, from our parents. When they sinned, what does it say? They hid themselves. They tried to hide from God. And God says, "Where are you, Adam?" "Oh, I was here. I hid myself because I was naked. I was afraid." But didn't he have the fig leaves on? He knew that didn't hide from God. But that's one way that men try to hide from God. It's by good works. That's why you see people that are pro-abortion, pro-choice, I say, are always the first ones to rush to a whale that's beached or something, some kind of animal, and will do all kinds of efforts to try to save that animal because they think that by their good work will cover and hide themselves from their sin. The good works that men do think will balance out. They think the judgment is a balancing act. I just have to have enough good works will hide my bad works from God. We'll balance it out and God will accept me. Doesn't work that way. You break one link in the chain of the law, you've broken the law. Good works do not hide us from God. Running to the far country does not hide from God. The prodigal son, why did he go to the far country? People wouldn't know him there. The far country was already in his heart, already in his desires. He wanted to go there because his father wouldn't see him there. He would hide from his family. He could do whatever he wants, seemingly, and them not see it. Men do that to hide from their sin, but it doesn't hide you from God. The far country, he's in the far country. It does not hide from him. In the future day, Revelation 6, people will say, mountains, cover us. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. They know their hearts. Deep down, people know. They just want to shove it to the back of their mind. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Banish them from public life. Banish them from any thoughts that anybody can... You can talk about it privately among yourself. Don't bring it up to me. That's a part of hiding from God. And mountains will not cover us. When I worked for the Corps of Engineers, had a project one time at Site R. Site R was the alternate Pentagon site in case of a nuclear attack. And it was a city that was built into a mountain, actually just outside Camp David. It had a long 2-lane highway tunnel going into the heart of the mountain. And they have these big vault doors that brings you into a city where there's enough storage, etc., water, you're inside the mountain, and even if it's a direct hit from a nuclear device, you're protected. And you're safe there till it's safe to come out. And it's a command center that the response to whatever the threat was, they could make a response to that. And the military, the government had several sites like that for different important people. The rest of us were in trouble. They never said, what do we do with the rest of us? Yeah. But, you know, this all started back in the 50s. You know, all this was planned. What's the threat? Here's the answer to the threat: to hide us. Protect us. But you know what? Back at the time, there was no consideration for the threat of the corrupting of our society. There was enough foresight to be able to fight the physical enemy armies, but they allowed all kinds of corruption to come in within the society to destroy us from within. And again, let's get God out of the schools, God out of our thoughts. The idea that there's absolute truth, there's right and there's wrong, there's a God you have to give an account to. You know, and all these leaders that when they, and the military, they take an oath of office. They swear to uphold the Constitution. And so many of them absolutely lie. They have no thought to keep up the Constitution. They, in their own mind, say the Constitution is whatever I say it means, because now I'm in power. These are the kind of lies. But these are the things that men use to hide from God, to make themselves God. A virtual world. Think about this. David's meditating on the great God of the universe. Man has found a way. Well, the temptation was always, you shall become as God. So man's found a virtual way, the head of which will one day proclaim to be God. Because he will say, I can be anywhere at once via the internet. Immediately, can speak and people up in Canada can hear our voices, can see us. He'll look at himself as omnipresent. He'll say, I control the internet. I control all this. I determine what is right and wrong. I determine morality. I consider what's fake news and what's not. And if I don't like your news, even if it's the truth, I can censor you and I can shut you off. I'm omniscient. You have a question, what do? You go to Google. Da-da-da-da. It tells you what's up. But if he controls Google, they obey him. I'm omniscient. I'm all powerful. Once I get rid of the make paper money, nobody will be able to buy or sell except on my word. I'm all powerful. I'm omnipotent. And I'll sit in the temple of God and people will bow down and worship me. And if they don't conform, they don't obey me, then I can shut them off from anything they buy or sell. They can't eat. This is where we're going to. It doesn't look that far now, does it? I mean, you look in Scripture, there was a time when people read the Scripture in Revelation where it says, these bodies in Jerusalem are raised from the dead and everybody sees them at once. And you would say, look what the Bible says. Who can believe that? How can everybody see them at once? That's not a big question anymore, is it? But it's a counterfeit God. It's man, again, making himself God. And in fact, he'll be subject to the devil. The devil always wanted to be God. It's the same temptation. But here, as long as man can get God out of their thoughts, the living God out of their thoughts, instead of honoring him as the God that he is, who knows all and is everywhere at once, is all powerful, they deny him. They use all kinds of excuses, all kinds of accusations. Change the subject whenever the subject comes up. We'll see that in John 4. Man is good at trying to keep God out of their thoughts, because when it gets too personal, then they want to change the subject. But they do this, Jesus tells us, because they love the darkness rather than the light. And they won't come to the light because their deeds are evil. Because their desires are evil. Oh yeah, they wouldn't like it if you did that to them. But it's okay for them to do it to you. That's why we see such hypocrisy in our leaders, in our those who make the laws. They make them for you, but not for ourselves. We're the law, the elite. We don't have to abide by those laws. They're only for you. This is man and the evil of the hearts of man. But you know what? Someday those leaders, yeah, they've been given the privilege of being a leader, being in responsibility. Someday they will have to stand before the leader, the Supreme Court of heaven, and give an account for the decisions that they made. A terrifying thought. No lawyers to get them off. No loopholes. They can't say, that's not what I meant. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And all things are laid bare unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And you know what? if we haven't bowed down to Him now, that is a fearful thought, that we would have to stand before Him naked. He knows our intents. He knows why we wanted to do it. Others may not know why you did that. They didn't know your motive. God knows it all. And now is the time that we stand before Him and say, "Oh Lord, I am so thoroughly lost. My heart is worse than I can imagine." But you know, the wonderful thing about the gospel, His knowledge so great, His presence everywhere. Look at this verse in Romans 8. This is when we think of God, that He's everywhere at once. To those of us who believe, look at this. "I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Where can I, wherever I go from His Spirit, the love of God is there. I can go into the depth of the mountain, and I know His love is still there. I know there's nothing that man can do that will separate me from His love. I believe those that will be going through the great tribulation when the Antichrist is ruling, claiming to be God, this verse will be so precious to them. Because they will know the living God. They will know that this man is a pretender. He's a counterfeit God. They will know that the Lord Jesus, when He comes, will destroy him with the breath of His mouth. Just a word, and he's gone. That's the Almighty God. That's the all-powerful God that we serve. And He's the God who created us. He made us. And then these verses where He talks about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Jews translated that into the Septuagint, and they translated it that you are fearfully wondrous, referring to God. When you think about His works, I mean, if there ever was a day when men should bow their knees and their hearts and say, "What a mighty God we serve." I mean, we have these telescopes that show the vastness of the universe and the power of the God who created it. And what do they say? Isn't Mother Nature wonderful? Mother Nature, how about Father God? You know, Mother Nature taking God's creation and attributing it to nature themselves. The denial. They disapproved of having God in their thoughts. Therefore, God gave them up to disapproved minds. Do we see any disapproved minds today? People don't know the difference between male and female. And the president, one of the first things he does is saying, "All you people who think you're women and were born men, you can compete in women's sports anytime you want." So what do you see? Oh, all these men are breaking records in women's sports. Disapproved minds don't know the difference between right and wrong. Killing an innocent baby is pro-choice. Passing a law to make sure we can't kill serial killers and put them to death, that's saving lives. So you kill all the innocents and you save alive the guilty. Disapproved minds, because they won't let God in their thoughts. Just look at the other end, how much we know about how we are formed. That's a miracle. Every child is an absolute miracle. They have found, it blows my mind. How much do you realize that none of this happens by chance? This is what they're trying to tell us. All this happened by chance. And it just so happens that when the sperm and egg unite, and they're 9 months, a child looking like you is born and can see and can hear and is formed in an environment that is totally different than the environment that they're going to live in. And yet their so-called theory of evolution says all the changes and upgrade or evolving happens because of the environment you're in. We're made for a different world. That child is made for a different world. And in a moment, it goes from total dependence upon its mother to breathing air that happens to be perfectly suitable for it to live. And then can feed from the mother that is perfectly what it needs to live for the first how many months. And then, just when they need to grow a little bit more, teeth happen to come in so they could learn to chew and eat. All of that by chance. And will not give glory to God who made us fearfully and wonderfully made. It's absolutely incredible. And when you think about, then you have to ask the question, why did God make us? What's our purpose in life? When you tell people constantly, you have no purpose, you're just chance, and there's no meaning in life, is it any wonder when they have no hope? It is any wonder that they think, if I kill myself, I'll be better off than living in a life with no meaning and no hope. That's the big deception. That's the big lie. That we're made for a purpose. When that was up, blessing and honor and glory and power to give unto Him. That's why we're here. To give unto Him. And He deserves it. The Lord deserves it. What we had this morning, we think of the great humiliation that our Lord went through. That He allowed us, enemies, to spit at Him. And He took the shame to crucify Him. And we were there. We would have been joining in their voices. Because you know what? Every one of our hearts are the same. Never think that there's not a sin that you can't commit. Because your heart is exactly the same as anybody else. Yeah, we might not have had the same circumstances that somebody else who went that route went. And if you haven't, thank God. If you've been protected, and your parents and the discipline and guardianship of growing up you've had, thank the Lord, because that only leads to destruction. But don't ever think your heart is any different. That's what the Lord saved us from. But not only were our hearts that bad, His love was far greater. And He went to the cross for me and you to save us. What a wonderful gospel. And He's the one who made us. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. Think of that. David's falling asleep. God thinks about me. And He thinks thoughts of blessing. How He wants to bless me. How He gave His Son. He wouldn't spare Him because He didn't want to see me get what I deserved. How precious are Your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Can you count them? Don't count sheep. Count His precious thoughts to you. And you'll find pretty soon that You fall asleep, and when you awake, He's still with thee. And you know, as we think His thoughts, the more we love the things that He loves, and the more we learn to hate what He hates. Not the sinner, as often said, because we were the same. Such were some of you. But we hate the sin. We hate the sin that we used to love. And sometimes we even struggle that within us because of the two natures. I hate that there's something in me that responds to that sin. You know, I look forward to the day when there will be no response to any kind of sinful thing. When I won't be like Him. When we won't be exactly like the Lord Jesus and all He does. And when we can be exposed freely in His sight, then we could say with David, honestly, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's something we have to always say while we're here in this world. Because the wrong thoughts, the devil, Neil had it earlier, the devil knows exactly how to get us. And he wants wrong thoughts, even towards one another. Oh, they did that because of this. Oh, that's why, you know, they're just trying to get even. Oh, that person doesn't deserve it. Yeah. All kinds of wrong thoughts. But to counteract that is to be in the Word, be in His thoughts, allow His Word to be a mirror to us so we can say, well, Lord, search my heart. When I really look at myself in the mirror of God's Word, I see, well, that's something that might be there for a long time. I need to cleanse myself from that because that's not the way the Lord would think. That's the way the enemy would think. That's the way the one who wants to divide us, the one who wants to stir up trouble, will do. And you know what? I think the internet, you know, supposedly the internet was supposed to be this great thing to have everybody be able to come together and have one big global family. It's just the opposite. It has stirred up strife every which way and brought all kinds of misinformation, disinformation, lies, corruption, and finding it everywhere. The devil has used it. It's really the prince of the power of the air waves, shall we say. That's the one who is the God of this world. But we know His time is short. His time is short. And the coming of the Lord draws nigh, and we don't get discouraged. We know we're the victors. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Shall we close in prayer? And Lord, You know all about us. Thankfully, Lord, You did not neglect to deal with one sin that we had, but that Your blood cleanses from all sin. We thank You, Lord, that there's nowhere that we could escape or flee from Your wonderful love. We thank You in Your name.